Well, I'd like to congratulate you all on being flood survivors. And what do I mean by that? And it's not talking about 2013, the big floods that were here, or other kind of floods of that sort, and not making light of those at all. But the flood I'm talking about is that flood of baptism, that flood of baptism that has really gone out into the world and that has swept over us. And we yearn for it to sweep over everybody. The church has given us in our first two readings for Mass today this basic orientation for us in Lent around baptism. And so the church shows this first reading from Genesis that speaks about the time right after the flood, the time where God is speaking to Noah. And in this reading, I think it helps us see, and what the church wants us to see, that just as there is this new life, and this new covenant with God after the flood, so too in baptism there is this flood of new creation that goes out, and this new and ultimate union with God that happens, and it's spreading out over all the world and at all different times. And then the church gives us our second reading from the first letter of St. Peter that points out that connection between baptism and Jesus Christ and his suffering and death. The baptismal flood that has gone out and gone over us, you know, this comes, it's unleashed by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we're connected to that. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, describes how mystically and supernaturally we go through his death and resurrection. We're survivors of that baptismal flood. He says to the Romans, "We were indeed buried with him," that is, buried with Jesus. "We are indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life." This newness of life and this new creation that pours forth, you know, for our salvation, as it says in 1 Peter, for the cleansing of our consciences as well. And so the season of Lent, which is a time of preparation for Easter, is so connected also with baptism, and really in two principal ways. The first is that Lent is the final stage of preparation for those who are going to be baptized at the Easter Vigil. So these people who are known as catechumens, they then enter into this final time and then are named and designated by the bishop as the elect. And so yesterday at the cathedral, our catechumens went, as well as fellow Christians who are going to be entering into the fullness of the Catholic faith. They went, and from a lot of different parishes they went, and the entire cathedral filled with people who would be baptized at Easter or received into the church. And actually, Archbishop has to do that rite of election three times to be able to fit, you know, everybody in. And so it's a very inspiring moment to be there, and really cool for those people to be kind of at our mother church, the cathedral downtown. And so Lent is this kind of final kind of fueling up the rocket, you know, for baptism that'll happen at the vigil. But for us who are baptized, you know, there's also this time of Lent as a renewal for ourselves of that newness of life that God wants us to have in our baptism, for a clearing of our conscience as well. So then at the Easter Vigil, and please do join us for that, or on Easter Sunday, we can then renew our baptismal promises to God, you know, with authenticity through this preparation and renewal we've gone through in Lent. So that's kind of the framing, the big picture about what Lent is for, and maybe help us see how it's tied in with that core and fundamental gift of baptism and our identity, you know, and the graces that flow from that. So looking at this, we can look at our Lenten practices and those traditional ones of prayer, of fasting, of almsgiving as oriented towards this renewal, this newness of life. And so it's not just a hodgepodge of activities that we do, but it's meant for this core growing in those baptismal graces, to revive those and to strengthen those. And so looking at And I do encourage you, grab a copy of the bulletin on your way out, because I write more extensively about what are the graces given in baptism. But just kind of overall, Lent is about these little conversions back to these key graces of sanctifying grace. So part of Lent is the conversion to, again, to think, to see, to live more out of faith, hope, and charity. Those core theological virtues that we've been given in our baptism. It's also a conversion to now, again, be more open and be attentive to the Holy Spirit's promptings so that we'd be guided by the Spirit in that struggle that is always there in the Christian life. And then also, the other little conversion is how we are simply to turn from evil and do good, which that sanctifying grace makes possible in our lives. So these Lenten conversions, these little conversions for that newness of life, you know, those always will cost us something. There's always a certain self-denial that comes in the reality of conversion, and the church calls that self-denial a mortification, that root mort, death. It means that in this conversion, there's a dying to self, or maybe you could say a dying to the selfish self, you know, that we would instead have deeper life. And so often in Lent, you know, we kind of create the mortifications that we do. For example, we may choose to abstain from something during Lent, or maybe we decide to change how we spend our time, maybe from one thing to a better, more godly thing. Or maybe we choose to reallocate how we spend some money, kind of less, you know, less Starbucks, more giving to the poor, those kinds of things. And those are great little actions of conversion. They can be very good. They can be a real sign of our sincerity of wanting to live out of that newness of life and baptism. But I would propose that perhaps one of the best things that we can do in Lent is to accept better, to accept more fruitfully, the mortifications, those dying to self moments that we already have in our life. Those hard things that in God's providence He has simply given us and we simply must deal with. Let me give you an example of how that can work, or just that reality of how those hard things in life can actually be real moments of grace. So a few weeks ago, I was eating at Subway, the one up at Bellevue and Kipling over by King's Supers, and I was there for lunch, you know, and I had just gotten my sandwich ready to go, and as I do that, you know, on this really cold day, the door to Subway opens, and this guy walks in. You know, I kind of just look up, you know, momentarily, and I can see he's got like layers and layers of clothes on and like different jackets. He's kind of disheveled, hair maybe a little wild on, you know, underneath the hat, and okay, you know, and so he comes in and he's walking towards the sandwich station to make his order, and he sees me. And he kind of veers off and comes towards me, and he steps up and he says, you know, "Excuse me, are you a man of the cloth?" And like, oh boy, that's an old term if you don't know for like clergy, you know, because he saw my collar. And I'm like, okay, let's see what happens. Well, of course, yes, I am, sir. And he reaches into the depths of his layers of clothes, pulls out $20 and says, "Here's a donation." And it was so great. It was entirely opposite of what I thought was about to happen, you know, and that he gave me a donation. And then he kind of saddled up next to me, and he's like, "You know, my name's Mr. Larry, and I've just, you know, I've experienced so much of God's goodness, you know, through AA, through the big book, working the steps over all these years. God has done such beautiful things, and I have received, and I've come to learn the gentleness of Jesus Christ." And then he just kind of patted me, and off he went to go order a sandwich. And it was such a beautiful, blessed moment of just God's goodness, just kind of puncturing through my preoccupations, my sandwich eating, things like that. And it was really a beautiful moment. And so I finished my sandwich, and when I was leaving, I noticed that he had picked a table like right by the entrance, the doorway of Subway, and with that really cold day, every time the door opens, you know, a blast of cold air would come in and kind of hit this guy, Mr. Larry. And so I just noted, like, wow, you're sitting right by the entrance. You keep getting hit by all this cold air. And he kind of just looked up at me and kind of shrugged about that. And then he just smiled and said, you know, I've discovered that all of my problems are my teachers. My problems are my teachers. And that's really what I'm trying to get at. You know, we have these problems in life. And what do we do with them? What is God inviting us to do with them? Let your problems be your teachers. You know, this man, I think, had known many and really hard problems in his life, and it was amazing the sweetness and goodness that God had worked through all of that I got to experience. Let your problems be your teachers. These are God's mortifications kind of given to us. And they may be hard things. Maybe it's a strained relationship in your life. Maybe it's a workplace challenge. Maybe it's some kind of illness, and maybe a very serious one. Maybe it's just some kind of disappointment in your life that you just can't seem to get over. Maybe it's some personal fault or failing that tries you might you still labor under and just can't seem to change. Maybe it's simply just the weight of the duties of your life and your family and these kinds of things. You know, this Lent, one thing you can do is work on accepting these things and accepting them out of that fundamental identity of who you are in your baptism and accepting them according to the grace of your baptism. Baptize these mortifications, so to speak. And so maybe thinking about that grace of baptism, maybe it's you think and you see and you live these hard things, you know, now more by faith and by hope and out of charity. Or maybe it's with these hard things, being open and attentive to how the Holy Spirit is prompting you in those things, rather than the deadly and sinful proposals of the enemy who wants to have, you know, give his own narrative about these hard things and admire us in sin and bitterness and sorrow and discouragement. Okay, this Lent, I want to be open and attentive. What does the Holy Spirit have to tell me about these kinds of mortifications that are just there by God's providence? Or maybe it's just simply, you know, in my reaction to these hard things in my life, I have done evil. And so I want the grace to turn from evil and instead in these things, do good. Baptism makes us incredibly sons and daughters of the Most High God. Let us trust in Him. In our problems, God wants to be our teacher. And in Jesus Christ, His Son, who did not refuse to suffer for us, to suffer temptation, to suffer death for us, in Jesus Christ, God can even use these things for our salvation.